Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Leona Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio Show. And today we have on with us once again Taylor and Cecilia Conley. Taylor is an incarcerated individual who has been doing wonders while incarcerated, and he's going to be talking today more about his involvement in a lot of other things that have been going on, and also their organization, Design Conviction. So, Taylor, are you on with us now? Okay, let's just bring Taylor in now. Okay. Okay, Taylor,
Hello.
Are you on with us now? How are you today?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I am so sorry for the delay here. One of the things is we're coming
no
in
worries.
A few minutes late, but I just introduced you, and I don't know if you heard it, but I'd like to have you speak more about the work that you're doing, the work that you and Cecilia are doing, and also the voice that you are bringing for all incarcerated in the prisons nationwide. Again, this is Taylor and his wife, Cecilia Conley, and Taylor's going to be speaking on the work that he's been doing in their organization, which is Design Conviction. Taylor, the platform is yours, if you can.
Well, thank you so much, Leon. I really, once again, I appreciate you inviting us to come on here and giving us the platform to speak to your audience. It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you.
As far as what we're doing here, we are, with Design Conviction, creating and building on this platform that is basically a place where incarcerated individuals around the country can showcase their positive work, things that they're doing good, through art, which has had a tremendous impact on my life. And a lot of others that I've seen, it has the capabilities to really open somebody up and help them to create beautiful things. So when you apply yourself to something like that, you're able to then apply yourself to other areas in your life because it takes such great patience to learn how to do art. And I think patience is something that in life does wonders. Here
exactly.
At Design Conviction, which is the platform which, together with my wife Cecilia, we've been able to create, and we sent out a magazine across the country to different incarcerated individuals that have some type of interest in art that we found, and offered this to them to be able to express themselves, to create a community that we try to find other people that are out in society and try to get them to support these people that are trying to do better. Because, I mean, that's the only way that we're really going to create actual changes from within. People have to really try and put themselves out there and try to do better and then be rewarded for doing better. Because once you get a track record of positive accomplishments, It's something that you're able to do just overnight, but it's something that builds upon each other. So once you get that recognition for doing something good, because once you're in prison and you're incarcerated, a lot of the recognition that you get is for doing negative stuff. A lot of the positive stuff that people do go unrecognized. So therefore, when somebody is constantly getting recognized for doing negative stuff, they're most likely going to continue to do negative stuff. So this platform here is a way and an outlet to begin to shine light and shed light, as you're doing here, Leona, on the people that are doing positive stuff, and we want to be able to express that to the world. So one of the themes of Design Conviction is unlocking designs to the world. And with the upcoming magazine that we have, which is a follow-up magazine to the Inside Design Conviction magazine, it's called Outside Design Conviction magazine, and we're taking those people that submit their entries into our contest and submit their entries to be published on our platform, and we are choosing ones to be printed in an outside edition of the magazine, and then we will have most of them go into the online version of the outside edition, which will be distributed all over the world, and anybody can go and check it out and support the positive work that is going on to begin to open up and maybe see things from the other side of the coin. Because oftentimes when you see these TV shows on TV or you read about stuff, all you're hearing about is the negative stuff. All you're hearing about
exactly.
is the side of the story that people thrive off of because they want to hear that negativity for some reason. You know, they want, you know, prison, quote unquote, the violence and the horror stories that you hear about. That you don't ever hear about the positive stories, the good programs that are being done, the men and women that are in prison that dedicate their lives to helping others, you know, serving life sentences that really have no chance to get out. There is no way for people to get out, but yet they're dedicating their lives to helping those who do have a chance to get out. And so something needs to be done about that. There needs to be some type of system in place to where people that are serving life sentences do have an opportunity. That doesn't mean that they're going to get out because, you know, there is a lot of people that don't change, and that's just a fact. However, there is a lot of people that do. And if there was hope for some people, because with no hope, oftentimes, what does somebody have to look forward to if they don't have hope? You know,
exactly.
And so if there was hope, maybe that would give them a new perspective on life. And just having a chance, you know. And regardless of that, though, we are wanting to give a voice to those people who you never hear from. That's why we've started the Life of a Lifer podcast, which you, Leona, have said that you would like to do interviews with us on there. So we're going to be doing some cross interviewing type thing. We're going to be putting the shedding light onto there, and you will be doing some interviewing of some of these guys that we're in contact with. And so you can hear more than just my story. You can hear other people's story and get these different perspectives and hear where these people are coming from, because we really want to give the other side of the coin. We really want to be able to shed the light on what's really going on and how a lot of these people, like somebody that you'll be hearing from later, a good friend of mine who's been in prison 36 years, you know, that's longer than I've been alive. And this guy has done all kinds of stuff. Of course he's been in trouble, you know, and that comes from being young and being incarcerated. As our science, our brain science has figured out, and through studies, they've basically deemed it as a scientific fact that when you're under the age of 25, you are not capable of really controlling some of those things that adolescents, you know, you're less able to be responsible, and especially if you have a rough upbringing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's always the case, but, you know, they won't even give car insurance coverage to somebody under the age of 25 because they've already figured this out a long time ago that they're not responsible, you know. So
exactly.
That's not to diminish the fact that people need to take accountability for their actions. That's just to say that should you punish somebody for the rest of their life, should you then have somebody who's, say in my case, 20 years old at the time when something happens, and they're incarcerated for the rest of their life, and whether it happened or not, because that point in their life, you know, they did not have a clear mind. They were not fully developed as a mature adult, and then therefore now you basically sentenced to die in prison, and there's no course of action which, no matter what you do, you're just, that's your destiny. So with that and with these developments, we need to set in place, because I've seen example after example of these people who have been incarcerated for, you know, multiple decades at a time. And you can see that now they understand it, you know, but yet they're just stuck in prison and they can't get out, you know. 60 years old and been in prison 36 years, how is that something that is beneficial to our society? Doesn't it just begin to drain on the tax dollars? I mean, the taxpayers are paying to house people who are perfectly rehabilitated and could make a positive impact on society, such as the youth of America, who are going off in the wrong direction at a rapid rate. People like that could step in and really be a positive role model and a positive influence and say, hey, that's not the life, that's not the road that you want to go down. And that's why
exactly.
I wrote the song Walk the Line, because they're walking down a fine line that is going to destine them to die or end up spending the rest of their life in prison. And hopefully, at some point, people are going to wake up and realize that these are the facts of life and how there is so much that could be done that's not being done. And there's so much that people have to contribute to society that's not being contributed because they're just locked away. All the potential is just locked away, and they threw away the key.
You know, I agree with you. And I have to say this real quick. Judges were appointed to be neutral in making decisions. The media is to report news, and they're supposed to be neutral. We live in a society today where judges will take sides, the media will take sides, government leaders will take sides, and unfortunately, this is not helping, because we know that victims and families of both sides, they suffer a lot, and there's reasons behind a lot of these situations. As you say, there's an epidemic of mental illnesses and also addictions in this country. There's so many wrongful convictions. There's so many reasons why people are in prison. First of all, no one should be sentenced to a life without, because as you say, people in their mid-20s and under, their minds were not matured at the time, and there's so many reasons for the offenses. So I think that this needs to go out to these judges, and it needs to go out to the media, that they should not be taking sides, that they should be neutral in all these situations and giving fair sentences, not giving them life without and death sentences or throwing away the key, because that's not why we, most taxpayers, are not in favor of these things, and it shouldn't be. But I really appreciate you bringing, actually making it possible for the audience to hear from various prisoners throughout the country as time goes on, so that they will get to know the prisoners themselves and not from what they're hearing from the media or from these government officials or from these judges that should not be, you know, taking sides. But again, the audience will hear more about that from you as you go on. So I'm going to let you finish what you were saying, and I'm sorry.
That's a great point that you make there. And I just want to further expand upon one of the things you touched on there with the judges. And I know that can happen where things are being taken sides. However, there's also another point there, which is mandatory sentencing. So, for instance, particular crimes have a mandatory sentence, and the judges do not have discretion to go outside of that mandatory sentences, which is mandated by the legislature. So something in my case where, say, a judge wanted to have discretion to go outside the standard sentencing range, which is a mandatory life without parole sentence, he would not have had that discretion to be able to do that. It was automatically that sentence or a
which
death
is where,
penalty sentence, which is the only
which
option
is where,
that the judge
which
had.
Is where some of the audience that would like to volunteer with what you and Cecilia are doing, this is where they could come in, because they can make the difference by contacting these legislative members throughout the country and making this a point that the judges should have that discretionary to be able to make these decisions. And that's a good point you just brought out.
Absolutely, because the legislator needs to be changed on mandatory sentencing, because with mandatory sentencing, you get a lot of disproportionate sentences that happen in a lot of life sentences, which maybe not each individual case, depending on the factors of things, because they're not able to take into account any factors, including mitigating factors of youth at the time of sentencing, because of that mandatory sentence mandate, which is mandated by the legislature. So absolutely, people can take that to the legislature, contact their legislatures, and let them know and voice their opinion, because that is what the democracy is all about, is being able to have a voice and to have an account. So if you don't do that, then, you know, you're just letting those decisions be made for you, and you're not having a voice into it. And as a taxpayer that you are, Leona, you would, and I'm sure that there's several others who...
You have 60 seconds remaining.
My time's almost up here, but I'm sure that there's several other people who agree with that, that, you know, there's rehabilitated people that money is being wasted on continuing to confine those people when something
exactly.
else can be done about it. And the mandatory sentencing is definitely...
Your time is running
that,
out, and it's a shame because there's so many good points you're bringing up. But I want to... I'm hopefully going to be having you on again on Saturday.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
The same time at 1:30 p.m. But I was going to say also, if you can, sometime during the week, maybe we can speak more on this issue as well.
Absolutely. It was great to be here, and I thank you so much. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing, Leona, and you're doing good.
We appreciate the good that you are doing, Taylor, and we hope with you being on with us on this weekly series that there will be some positive changes and that volunteers will come on board with all of you.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Leona. Mm-hmm. Taylor is out of the call now. He left us.
Okay, Cecilia, you want to give the audience your information again? So anyone that wants to do any volunteer work with you and with Taylor, they can. And also I want to remind everyone, as Taylor mentioned, the discretionary ability for the judges to make the decision rather than the mandatory sentencing is a very important issue. And we'd like to have all of you, if you are willing to volunteer, to contact Cecilia and to offer your help and to find out ways that you can be of help. And Cecilia,
yes.
we will let you
yes.
Give them that information as well. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you. So perfect. Thank you. So our Facebook page is Design with ED in the end. Design ED Conviction. Our website is also www.designwithedconviction.com. And the mandatory sentence that Taylor was mentioning is basically the judge has to give him life sentence for a crime, for just he was found guilty of a crime of one person. He's innocent of that crime, but anyways, even if he has been guilty, he got the same sentence that a serial killer. So here in Washington State, somebody that committed a murder will receive the same sentence that a serial killer. and the judge doesn't have any type of discretion of it. So, yes, and so we will welcome people that want to help us to build our community, people that want to help us to spread the word about what we're doing, people that want to help us to find sponsors and business partners and networking, the people that can support to be able to support more people, and also people that is willing to help us to promote change in the legislature and the nation. Hello?
Thank you so much, Cecilia. And I was just listening to Walk the Line, and we will close that with that. Cecilia,
yes.
I'd like to speak with you more about this off the air, about ways that they can help, and maybe you can bring that up again at the next the next interview as well. But I want to thank you so much for the work that you and Taylor have been doing. And again, the information you're giving to the audience and ways that they can help, because there are so many out there that have loved ones serving life without parole too. And I'm sure that they would be more than willing to use that virtual volunteer work to make these calls to legislature and others.
Together we can accomplish more than individually. So I invite you to come and work together with us in a national scale and try to push change together. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cecilia, and we will be speaking soon. Again, audience, I thank all of you for listening, and I thank Cecilia and her husband for being on with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.